Stanford Stephen the Bear is presented by Allstate. Switch to Allstate and save and get protected from this year's mayhem.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week 6. Stanford Steve and the Bear. Bear, Denver, you are there, headed to Lawrence. We will get to that. Are we good so far?
Yeah, well, yeah, we are good so far. I do want to just start the pot off with a little bit of a somber note and just a shout out to someone who I used to work with in research at SIG at ESPN, and now she works for Major League Baseball. That's Sarah Lang, who you won't probably find. Maybe Tim Kirkjian, maybe Jason Stark might be two people that love baseball more than her, and she does a great job. And she just made a post on her Twitter account about some struggles she's been going through and was diagnosed with ALS. So we want to I just want to give Sarah shout out and let her know we love her and we're thinking about her.
No doubt about it. One of the best. Brutal when we lost her from ESPN. I really, really hope she gets better and takes care of what she has to do. Unbelievable talent. Seeing her grow as a researcher, and then I turn on MLB Network and she's on the set with the guys. A true great person, great worker. So yeah, our thoughts and prayers are with her. Sorry to hear about that. Other than that, we have a town that has wanted you and now you're going there. Are we good? Are we good with Lawrence? You're on good wavelength there?
Absolutely. What are you kidding me?
Okay.
Without a doubt. It was so funny because people, I think, misconstrued what I was tweeting last Saturday about, like, I think some people thought I was, like, being sarcastic about that. Like, what it was meant to say was just, like, the beauty of this sport. Like, if you look at the October 8th or whatever it was going to be in August or July when the schedules all come out, like, oh, there's no way game day won't be at OU Texas or Alabama, Texas A&M with everything that's going on. And here we are for a battle that had a 0.01% chance of meeting its unbeaten with TCU in Kansas. So, no, it's awesome. I've always said anytime we go to a place for the first time or the first time in a long time are my favorite shows. And we're certainly looking forward to getting there. In the wee hours tonight, I should say, or Friday morning after the Broncos and Colts.
Very good. I will start out by saying everybody. I remember being at the PGA Championship in Tulsa this past spring, early summer, and that's the day Jimbo went crazy. And I'm sitting there with Gene Wojciechowski. He's like, "I hope you have October 8th circled on your calendar because you're going to be coming to Tuscaloosa." And no one's going. We've talked about it earlier. We did Daily Wager earlier this week, and people asked us our thoughts on the game. I don't have any because of the unknown with Alabama and the quarterback position. I've had that injury. I had to deal with, you know, constant, you know, contact down there, and that's what took me so long to get back and honestly never right through a whole season. But Bryce is a quarterback, and I think as long as he does this proper stretching, rest, I don't think he's going to be needed in this game. Do you have anything to offer? You know,
no, I can't imagine he would play. The one thing I would look at in this game would be, I haven't seen the team totals yet. I would look at Texas A&M team total under. I can't imagine that they're going to, this might be a situation where, remember that game at Clemson a couple of years ago, where A&M went up there and they were a massive underdog, and it almost seemed like Jimbo just kind of called a game to avoid them getting a bear. Remember they had that long, like, single drive in the fourth quarter, basically to just kind of, like, manage the score. I kind of feel the same way here. Like, they're not going to score many points at all. They're not going to get many big chunk plays at all. Even Alabama, I think, offensively with Bryce likely out, you're going to see the offense that you saw in the second half last week against Arkansas. And that doesn't mean Gibbs and the quarterback and some other guys can't break some long runs. But at the same time, I think it's going to chew clock. It's going to keep the ball away from A&M. So I would think that A&M team total under would be the play.
Well, that gets me to a question I had for you, because If I now we do the math, you're the math guy. A&M against Bama, the spread is 51. Let me check here.
So it was 24, so that you made, you're making it.
So you're looking at 38-14, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd 14. If you could, if you find a 14.5, you have a 14.5 out there or something, that would be something I would look. These games might be up yet. I'm gonna look at DraftKings right now and see if they have a total up. So that's the app I have open.
So Clemson is going to red bandana game at Boston College. Automatic stay away for me. But this was my question for you. That's 48.5, and the spread is 20.
Here we go. Sorry. Yeah, of course they're going to go 13.5 as opposed to 14.5 or 14.
Oh.
Yeah, 37.5 and 13.5. So we were right on 30. Yeah, I'd still go under.
Me too. Who scores more, A&M or BC?
I'll say BC. Only because I think with Djokovic, they have an opportunity to maybe get some passing opportunities after they're down by 30 and maybe get some hollow points through the air against that Clemson secondary. Maybe they got some guys who can stretch the defense a little bit better and take some more downfield shots than NC State were able to last week. So I would say BC scores more points than A&M.
Yeah, a couple things on that. Just going back and watching, had Mississippi State last week, turn that on. Haynes King comes in. It looked like Max is dinged up. I just don't see it, man. And all that comes with it, the one thing that can control, I think Saban has a control of, is that defense. And I think A&M is just up against it. They can't do anything. They're super vanilla on the offensive side of the ball, and that's what scares me. So that's the first thing I looked at Sunday. I was trying to do that math, and I'm like, all right, 38-14, I would go under A&M. And then I'm looking at Clemson. I think that would be around the same, right?
BC is 13.5 as well.
Yeah. So I watching Clemson back on tape last week, Bear, they just keep coming at you. They just keep rolling guys in. And watching NC State, they did some things in the first half. They got the halftime 0-0, in a 10-10 game. And they come out in the third quarter and they go sack on their first downs on their four drive, sack, run for no gains, false start, and then a run for 8 yards. So that's still negative yardage when you're starting a drive in that place in a night game against that defense. You're not going to beat them doing that. And I just feel it was unfortunate. There was miscommunication. You saw the offensive lineman just not being able to communicate, mixing up protections, and it got them. And that's what Clemson does, man. They absolutely terrorize you every single snap, and it's just tough. I just think Djokovic, with all the injuries on that offensive line, I think that's a tough one because the Clemson defense is real. So I just thought that was interesting, seeing that both those two teams had the same team totals that I was looking, but that's funny now that they threw the 13.5 in there. So you got to hope for two field goals. But let's go to the game in Lawrence. I do have a pick on this game on .com. I like TCU. When I think about the matchup, I look at what Kansas did last week. It's the hardest thing to do is forget how good or bad a team looked last week into the following week. But Kansas has to play better than they did last week. They will. Jalen Daniels will be better. But the thing is, the other side, that TCU offense, I mean, they just come at you in every single way they can. They spread you out. They run vertical. Their run game is vertical. Duggan's in the run game, accounted for over 400 and something yards of offense. I think Kansas is going to struggle stopping TCU, and I think they're going to struggle keeping up with TCU. I like a high-scoring game. I will take TCU minus the 6.5.
Yeah, I think it might be a little high. I mean, look, I think TCU is better than Kansas, and I think if you look at, there are a lot of power ratings and a lot of metrics that have Kansas right around like the sixth or seventh best team in the Big 12. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can look at it both ways. You can say, hey, Kansas, you can win 35-27 or whatever, 45, whatever it was against West Virginia. You can win those games, and then you can win an ugly 14-11 game. And that's a sign of a good team. Like, you can find a way to win in a variety of different ways. But at the same time, the metrics and the analytics usually don't lie. And those power ratings didn't come into play. They realize how badly Kansas was outgained last week, how Iowa State kind of just gave the game away with missed field goals and mismanaging the final drive there. But at the same time, you got to give the defense credit for keeping him in the game. I think TCU will win, but at the same time, I don't know if I'd want to lay 6.5, 7 points. I think this can be a little bit closer, because while we talk about Kansas trying to forget about last week and how and people forgetting how bad they played last week in a win, people need to kind of get the impression of what they saw from TCU out of their mind from last week.
Yep.
Rolling up 700 yards against an Oklahoma defense, which couldn't stop anyone. By the way, it's a little quick segue. Maybe we might be congratulating ourselves on Oklahoma under 9.5 this week. I was told who's Oklahoma going to lose to, and they've already lost twice. So,
very good. I was waiting for you to get that. I wasn't going to bring up the team from Ames's name unless you did. I know we have
no. What are you doing, man? Like, the kids already missed two field goals, and one's a short one, and now you run the now you run a play. You're a foot short, a foot and a half, 2 feet short on the wrong hash, and you're going to send him out there again. I mean, it was funny. I was watching the game with Pollock on the bus, and like, we turned and looked at each other, and Pollock's son Nicholas was there, and his buddy. And I turned to, and like, at the same time, we were like, "This, he's absolutely hooking this thing left." And like, we could barely get it out of our mouth before it happened. Like, you got to go there. You can't sneak the ball for 2 feet. Yeah, so frustrating. And you said another curse word before when you said Tulsa, losing them by a half a point after having the ball first and goal, I think at the 4, and they were unable to score. And I lost that game by a half a point because I'm not allowed to buy it up in the column. So that was frustrating.
Understood. When I look, and you said it, forget how TCU looked last week. That's why I went back and watched the following week against SMU. I know SMU looked like trash last night, but that was a brutal spot for Sonny to go back and play his team in Dallas. And Duggan and that offense came right out from the jump and jump-started that game and got them to a win that they needed. And I just feel like that the speed they have, it's a polished machine. And Duggan is a guy in a day and age right now, this week, you're starting to read more and more that is a huge problem in the sport with guys supposedly asking for red shirts with week 4 games done, knowing they could keep an year eligibility and then transfer. It's an epidemic in the sport. It is a serious problem. And then going back and reading an article with Duggan saying, I wanted to stay because I wanted to graduate in December. I wanted to graduate from TCU. I'm a part of the business school, and I love everything that I've gotten out of it. I just wanted to be here with the guys in the locker room. You don't hear these guys anymore. So, yeah, I'm kind of rooting against America's new team in Kansas. I went against Appalachian State, who was America's team a couple weeks ago.
Winner.
With James Madison. Winner. Thanks for the gear, James Madison. I appreciate you watching, listening to the column, or reading the column, and listening to the podcast. So I understand it. I grabbed had somebody go do something for me Sunday out in the desert when I saw this line open at 4. So we're in at 4, but I can't get off it. It's still 6.5. I love TCU in this offense, and Duggan is a major reason. Mackenzie, our researcher for Daily Wager, told me he got yesterday 100-1 on Duggan to win the Heisman. And I'll tell you right now, if he wins this game in the fashion that he did last week, that thing is going to be about 8-1 because they're going to have two huge wins out of their way, and it's only going to get steeper. So I just thought that was interesting. It's an awesome story, him staying there and not winning the job and then unfortunately getting an injury in Colorado, and he is taking it and run with it. So I'm really fired up for that game. Happy for the people in Kansas. I'll be out there December 17th for my first trip to Fog Allen. So you can warm them up for me, Bear, while you're out there.
And that's the we were talking about the kids transferring from SMU and like poor like that's the great thing about Doug, stuck it out. And like you're one play away from being and here he is now the starting quarterback. Like
on top of the world.
As someone with an 18-1 ticket on TCU to win the Big 12, I'm rooting for the Horned Frogs this week myself.
And I'll say this.
Sorry, Kansas.
It's all good. Scott and I talked about this on our pod earlier this week. These guys cannot just up and leave the first time adversity strikes, man. You got to fight through something. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you better. And you can't pull the coaches and play me. Coaches had a lot of pressure to win games. And it could be a combination of the kid being everything given to him coming up. It could be bad people around him in their circle giving him bad information. It's a combination of bad, bad things in the sport. And I wanted to point out the Duggan story because it's that good. Because now it seems like that's the minority. And the easiest thing is to do up and leave and see where I could do with NIL at another place.
He had no – I remember the TCU game, the Oklahoma game last year that we did. He had no business playing in that game, the injuries that he was going – he had a broken foot and something – and he's out there playing. So easy kid to root for, someone you want to see succeed.
I will say this too. I think I typed it in our email earlier this week. I am not scarred, a little biased though, when I see game day and TCU is the visiting team. I was out in Provo when back, I think that was Andy Dalton. TCU came in game day at Provo, smoked them. Then in Salt Lake City, TCU comes in. Salt Lake City has game day places, tremendous. TCU comes in and gave them a dose. So those things
I think that game in Salt Lake, it either until the Ohio State Nebraska game a couple of years ago in Lincoln, when Ohio State won by 90, that TCU win at Utah was the largest margin of defeat by a game day host in a home game.
Okay, so.
You got that.
That's another reason that's in my head is just seeing that. I understand Andy Dalton's not the quarterback at TCU anymore, but it's just things that come with what we've seen and saw in our travels.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, you have a pick for Friday.
Yeah, I've been against Houston twice. You both won. UTSA game, and then last week, I'll admit, I mean, I would not feel very confident once Tulane was down to their third-string quarterback. Like, how that was an inexcusable loss for Houston. But at the same time, they're still better than Memphis. Like, if they haven't thrown in the towel on the year and they haven't quit on each other, and if they want to still compete in the season, they're better than Memphis. Like I know Memphis has the better record, but you've beaten Navy, Arkansas State, North Texas, and Temple. And your defense has given up a ton of yards and points. Like, I can't get excited about Memphis laying 3 years. So I'm gonna buck the trend and how poorly Houston has been so far. And I am going to take the three with the Houston Cougars.
I have two totals. They're both overs in the column. You can check all our picks out on the chalk section, ESPN.com. Those go up Thursday. We possibly will add picks. There's a couple things.
I think I got two games as well. I think I'm gonna want it.
Yeah. So keep an eye. That'll update. Obviously before the games go off Saturday. I want to go to Tempe, Washington. Off that loss in a great game against UCLA. Is laying 14. The total's 56.5, and they're at Tempe against Arizona State in a very rare day game. in Sun Devil Stadium. We don't get these a lot. It's going to be hot. It's going to be in the 80s. But when I look at Washington, I think they learned a lot about themselves last week. The offense came out great, and then UCLA made adjustments, and they weren't able to overcome the combination of turnovers and then UCLA finding those matchups they wanted against that Washington secondary, turn that game real fast. Credit to Washington for not giving up and coming back and making it a game. But when I look at Washington, I see a team. I think DeBoer's going to have that team focused. He knows it's a tricky game going down there on the road for the second straight week, but they're going to be buttoned up on offense. SC was just going through the motions last week against Arizona State. They put up 42. I think this Washington offense is just as capable. Like I said, they'll be more buttoned up. They'll be more focused. And that Washington secondary is going to give up plays to Arizona State. So I think that number is too low. I like over 56.5 in Tempe, 4 Eastern kick, Sun Devil Stadium. So that's that one. And then you, what do you got? You got another Pac-12 game in there.
I do. I look, crazy things happen when Oregon goes on the road to the state of Arizona. It's been like three different head coaches, teams, Arizona teams that have had losing records or 4 or 5 losses and coming in different poorly. And Oregon has struggled mightily in the state of Arizona, whether it's been U of A, whether it's been Arizona State. Oregon coming off of one of the better performances of the year last week, blowing out Stanford, the comeback against Washington State. Now you go on the road, a long trip. You got to face DeLara and that offense. It's going to throw the ball all over the place. They may not win outright, but I think 13 is too many here. So I'm going to take Arizona.
I was looking at that spot for Oregon. Stayed up till 3:30 in the morning to watch Oregon come through against Stanford, help the column. But it's not as tight run as like when I watch Washington. Way too many offensive penalties. They did capitalize on some brutal Stanford turnovers. So that's an interesting spot for Oregon, knowing what they have. UCLA coming up in a couple weeks. I think that's a lot. I think Washington State could also find a way into the column, knowing what SC looked like and what they have next week, in weeks previous. I think Washington State's in a big spot going to Los Angeles. So keep your eyes open for that. My other total right here in the snake pit, Purdue, Maryland. Why this number is 58.5, I have no idea. The capability of these two quarterbacks and the playmaking skills of their guys around them are just going to be too much to handle for both defenses. I understand Purdue has been great defensively against the run, but I think Maryland's going to beat them through the air. I think Purdue is going to throw the ball all over Maryland too. A high-scoring game. I kind of like Purdue in this spot. They should be undefeated, man. Golly, those two losses. Penn State at home, at Syracuse, had both those games won a couple times. Did. So credit to Brohm and overcoming those losses and going to Minnesota and getting a huge win and making that Big Ten West a dumpster fire. So 58.5 is too low to me for these two offenses. I like over 58.5 with Maryland and Purdue. Do you have anything? Go ahead.
I thought about Purdue eventually. Okay. I'm kicking around Mississippi State. I don't know what that number is ultimately going to land on.
KJ out, right?
Yeah, I think KJ out and bad secondary. Like Bully could throw potentially all over them there. I see an 8.5 at the South Point. I see 9.5 everywhere else. So maybe I can go run to see my friend Chris Andrews and fire it on the States at some point. I thought about Notre Dame, only 3.5 against BYU. I think that Notre Dame defense will travel, and I think they might be turning a little bit of a corner on the offensive side of the ball as well. So those were the other couple that and then I was thinking about an Auburn team total under with how the Jordan, even without Jalen Carter. I wonder privately. I talked about this on our game day call earlier this week. About I wonder privately, like if you gave Kirby truth serum. Like he might, is he like secretly happy with how that game went last week, that they struggled and still won. Like, now we can totally tighten the screws. You've got an Auburn team that's incapable of scoring coming in. Like shutout is in play here. And I saw the team total was 9.5. Like, are they scoring? Are they scoring twice? Like, really? If Georgia doesn't want them to score, they won't. So I looked at an Auburn team total under as well.
Unfortunate with the Carter injury. But, I mean, Auburn getting 30 in that game, that's just crazy to think about. I'm with you on Notre Dame. They were – I had fingers on the keyboard. I just can't do it with Drew Pine. He worries the hell out of me for Notre Dame. I love every other aspect. I think Notre Dame's going to run the ball. But what is he going to be able to throw the ball when they need him to? I just don't trust him. I'll probably end up taking him Saturday, but I'm not putting them in the column. I can't do it. Bear, you had some interesting thoughts on the Big Ten slate on Daily Wager yesterday. Can you get into how much you love the Big Ten slate this week?
Well, I can't wait until Friday night to order into the hotel and have DoorDash bring me whatever from wherever in Lawrence I decide to order from and just lock in to Nebraska and State University of New Jersey on Friday night. And then what's going to be great is we've got the early game. We got a 4 o'clock game on Saturday in East Lansing between Ohio State and Michigan State. Happy Michigan State under week as well, which will cash this week. So I get my share of that. And then we get to cap it off after that game, and I get to settle in and lock in and watch that Iowa offense against Illinois. So it's going to be a great viewing. So, I mean, if I can sneak in on a second screen, Wisconsin Northwestern, that would be an added bonus as well. So yeah, there are some just fascinating matchups in the Big Ten this week, and I can't wait to watch as many of those games as I can. On the flip side, however, tongue in cheek, on the flip side, next week is a great schedule. So we got to sit through the poo-poo platter this week to get to the big-time games next week.
I hope Michigan's in a good routine for these noon games, because,
no
boy.
No kidding, man.
Holy cow. I mean, I hope they're morning guys, because it's not over anytime soon. Penn State next week.
And then, you know, the Ohio State game will be noon too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it will. Is that line going to go up to 24, Michigan, Indiana?
Probably.
Right?
I mean, every week Michigan is among the most the highest ticket count and the highest money count.
I'd have to take Indiana there. Have to. And you didn't bring up the game at Ryan Field, Wisconsin. Northwest.
Oh no, I said I want to try and sneak in a little bit of that on a second screen. Yeah.
Michigan State.
If they honestly that game does have some intrigue though to see how Jimmy Leonard does in his first game there as head coach. That I get both sides of this decision. Like all the success that Paul Christ had. But at the same time, the trajectory of that program for the last couple of years has been down. And I think I said it last week on the – like they looked so ordinary and average and just every negative word. Compared to Ohio State, so it's hard to draw that comparison when you're on the field with one of the best teams in the country. But – like it's clear, like their talent level has fallen off, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
I when I was reading this offseason just about what they had coming in as a roster, first of all, I've never been a Mertz guy. The numbers were just staggering to me that was the best they had. And they beat out schools for him. He's the biggest quarterback recruit they got as a freshman. So it sounds like all these people talking about Leipold and the other guys that are conservatives. This is Jim Leonard's job. This is Jim Leonard's job. I don't understand.
That's why they did. Yeah, it's interesting.
Exactly. So I don't think there's a win total he has to get to the rest of the way. I mean, he can still win. win the West the way it is. They're one game back.
Anyone can win. Exactly. Anyone can win the West.
So that's your Wisconsin take there. Do you have anything else in the column before we talk some ranked versus ranked?
No. Those were the only two that I had in the column right now, Houston and Arizona. And then, like I said, I thought about Mississippi State. I thought about Notre Dame. And I was waiting for the team totals to come out that I might wind up putting in there later today.
All right. I thought for sure you were going to have LSU in the column. Tennessee, -3, 65 is a total. Plenty has been made about the start time in Baton Rouge. But how didn't LSU find its way onto your column? This is Bear written all over it.
It does, and I thought about it. I normally, this would have been a spot where I would have loved to go against Tennessee and fade Tennessee with Alabama on deck next week. Like, but it would, like, if they would have had Vanderbilt or South Carolina or Missouri or something like that, I would have absolutely been all over whoever they're playing plus the points. But I mean, the fact that it is a good team that they're playing, a team that they're going to have their full attention. Like, this isn't a sleepwalk game. Now, they may go in there and lose because Daniels might run wild on them like Anthony Richardson did, and the LSU offense might make some big plays against a defense that has a ton of problems. But, I wouldn't feel great about like the same confidence level that I would have taken 17 or whatever with Missouri or whomever else, as opposed to only taking 3 with LSU, who I think is slowly finding their way defensively. They're getting a lot better, and I think they're coming together as a team. And if I had to play the game, I'd take LSU, but gotcha. I just don't know. I just don't know if it's column worthy.
A couple things on this game. Tennessee in the last 20 years is 2-32 on the road versus SEC West team. That's insane to me. Insane. Yeah. And when I think about this game, Tennessee absolutely needs this game because next week you have Bama coming in. Most likely it's not going to work out. I understand you're at home, but all that has gone on. This team averaged 41, giving up 41 points a game outside Neyland Stadium last year. You can't do that and be a top 10 team in the country. You have to go out off a bye week with your, you know, quarterback leader, Heisman candidate, and win this game. And that's why I can't put Tennessee in the – I wanted to put Tennessee in the column. I can't. I don't trust them. And I think the Cedric Tillman injury is big because he was the guy. When Hooker was in trouble, he was the guy. Now the other guys have come along huge. Hyatt's got 23 catches and 3 touchdowns. He's been phenomenal. But Tennessee has to get this win, and I don't trust them, and it's mostly because of that defense. The defense has just been not good. You know, I thought that Pitt win was good. Then we see Pitt lose to Georgia Tech last week. So it is and in Florida, going back and watching that, they carved them up. Turnovers were a killer there. And the end of the half and then coming out of the half, it's a 14-point swing Tennessee gets, and that ends up being – the deciding factor is they win that game and don't cover. Does Missouri have anything left in the tank against Florida?
Sure. Why wouldn't
they? Okay. I just thought they exuded a lot of energy last week.
They did. They did. But I mean, I think it's more of a, like, why would Florida, like, what's so special about them?
I think they found themselves offensively in Knoxville.
Missouri's done very well. Yes. Against Missouri in the past.
Yep. Understood there. I was just a question I had that was interesting. Let's go to the Fighting Chippers. Utah comes in to UCLA. I will say this. This is not the Utah team everybody is accustomed to. Okay. When I say that, and I mean this, no one has watched Utah since week one. Nobody. They've been on Pac-12 Network twice, and then they were an 11 o'clock kick against San Diego State. That was the week I gave them out, so I did watch them. But this isn't the same Utah defense with big guys up front that are really going to stymie your run game and create blocks and, you know, get double teams and let your linebackers run free. It's not that. They are undersized up front. And when I think about the injury to Keithy, it's huge. I went back. He had a touchdown against UCLA in 2019. That shows you how long he's been around. I think it's the same deal as last Friday night. I think it's a high-scoring game. I think Chip knows he has to score in order to win, because that's the other thing. This Utah offense is way more advanced than they were last year when he took over. So I think it's another a spot. I think UCLA has the goods offensively. I love the offensive line. I love the playmakers. I just don't know if Dorian could be as good as he was last week, because he was absolutely sensational in that win against Washington.
Yeah, the one thing that worries me is just how Utah has absolutely annihilated them the 3 years that Chip has been there. Now, like you said, I think you look at this Utah team, not the same. You look at the change on the defensive side of the ball that Chip made. Things can't be worse. But I'm glad you brought up the Utah offense, because it is so much different. I mean, even without Keith in the lineup, with Kincaid and the things that he can do, and Thomas and the backs that they have in there as well, who were threats as well in the passing game, Bernard. It does present a different challenge this week. What a great couple of weeks coming up in the Pac-12 with SC Utah next week as well.
Yeah, it's good to see these teams with numbers ranked next to them. So that always helps things, obviously. My other pick in the column, again, there's a couple teams out there that have not covered the spread this year. Stanford is one of them. I will take Oregon State. I say it every week. Team speed is a problem for Stanford. They don't have any. Oregon State has tons of it. And if Oregon State didn't turn the ball over four times, they're in that game with Utah. They went up and down the field, and they just can't. The turnovers have cost them a win against USC and being in that game at Utah. So I think Oregon State, late game, plenty of seats available at Stanford Stadium. So I think Oregon State goes in and scores a bunch and covers easily against Stanford. What else intrigues you as far as ranked teams? Oklahoma State in a tricky spot?
Yeah. Oklahoma State, I think, is in a tricky spot, because this is kind of the game that you can see after the big win against Baylor and now drawn in the national eye. Laying, what is it, 10? Did it touch 10 now, or is it still 9.5?
Yeah. I got 9.5 now.
I can see Tech. I don't think Tech's very good, but I can see the offense scoring some points in that game. That game would that game interests me to see how they bounce back from that big win. NC State, Florida State interests me as well. I wanted to believe in NC State last week, and then seeing them in prison. Now, Clemson's defense may have been the reason why, but wow, NC State has no deep threat, difference maker type players on the outside. Clemson snuffed out that short pass, that screen game, and that was it. That was it. And it's a team that they can't run to begin with. Mm-hmm. Florida State did lose last week at home to Wake, and Hartman had a great game, but I don't think they're going to. The NC State offense isn't the same type of scheme that's going to do what Sam Hartman did last week. I could see Florida State nearly made it into the column as well. That was one that I thought about as well. So that game is very interesting to me.
This game fascinates me, because you said it with NC State. I want to believe. I still kind of do believe, because I think that defense is serious. And why I love that matchup against Florida State, because it's better than anything they have faced. And it's at home. It's a night game. They have to get a good effort on tape, I would think, NC State. They just haven't gotten there, and I'm still in the belief that it is there. Because when I watch the tape, you touched on it. Clemson is so versatile defensively. They run eight different guys out in the D-line. They get upfield and are constantly in the quarterback's face, but they're so good and athletic, and their scheme is so good that they sniff out any screen. Anytime they tried to run, I think it was three screens in the first half last week, Clemson, I mean, he had to throw the ball in the dirt. They're so fast. So I think NC State's offense will obviously be better at home. I still think there's plays to be made. He just – there's some things that came open late in the secondary, but he didn't have time to throw them. So do they adjust accordingly and go more of a short game? I think you'll see that. against Florida State's defense. I still think Verse coming back for Florida State is the ultimate difference maker. So I'm really interested in this game to see how it plays out, because this will tell me more about Florida State. If they go and win this game, that tells me they're primed for a big season. So that'll be a really good game in Raleigh Saturday night.
Who will emerge with the winning streak from Western Dade County, the University of Connecticut or Florida International?
The answer, and there's only one answer, is the University of Connecticut. But, man, this line keeps going up. It was 5.5 last night when I wrote the lines down.
I still see 5.5. That's what I got.
Oof. It was 3.
Really?
Correct. Yeah.
I see open 4.5. Okay.
I thought I saw 3 Sunday when I first checked the lines.
Is there a look-ahead line on this game? Maybe they posted a look-ahead line back in the summer on this one.
New Mexico State came back down to earth. I'll tell you that one.
I just saw New Mexico State because we was looking through the I couldn't remember if Nevada had 2 wins or 3. I'm just kind of going through Nevada's game log, knowing that I have a season 1 total under on them. So I will be calling for Colorado State this week. They still got Hawaii too, which worries me. So we'll see.
Yeah, there's actually a good game out there late Friday night with UNLV and San Jose State.
Yeah, UNLV keeps going up. Also. Absolutely. Yep, sure is.
San Jose State has a chance. I was looking at their schedule just to see, like, the winner of this game should feel really good about themselves, knowing Fresno's not going to have Hayner for, it sounds like, at least a couple more weeks. Boise is just I don't even have words for that.
Bland, yeah. Basic, so whatever.
The winner of this game is got a huge chance. I mean, I just want to pull this up for you. San Jose State went to Auburn. That's their loss. They lost by 8. Beat Wyoming in Laramie last week. Yep. So here you go. Fresno State next week, probably no Hayner. At New Mexico State versus Nevada versus Colorado State. And then you got at San Diego State. So – they could get this thing right in real quick.
They could really get this thing going.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a – wow. That's, you talk about getting some breaks there, especially with the Fresno. But you like the games you want on the – like New Mexico State, correct, you get on the road. Utah State, you get on the road. And then you end with that terrible Hawaii team. Mm. I wonder if there's a if there's an adjusted season win total on that.
Or a – adjusted winner of the Mountain West.
Yeah, that's
because they're going to get there.
Yeah, that's a let's see college football. Let's see if we got. I know they don't have the Heisman prop out here in the in Arizona, in Colorado, where I am right now. Because I looked before at the Doug and Dale team futures conference winner. Let's see, Mountain West. Yeah, you can still get them at 5.5 to 1. Boise, Air Force, and Fresno are all. Or we're all ranked more than them.
Wow.
Or shorter prices, I should say, ranked more. I can't even talk. Huh. I'm going to have to.
Fire away.
We'd have to make a mid-pod play. Why not, right?
Absolutely. You got the goods. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Sitting here, perfectly legal. Why not? Do it.
All right. The other thing we have to get to in the SEC is South Carolina at Kentucky. And obviously everything goes crazy last night. The game comes off the board. Obviously there's a ton of talk about Will Levis, dislocated his finger last week. It sounds like he's questionable. He's going to be a game time decision. So that line was 10.5 all week. And now it's 6. And I'll be honest, I haven't done my backup quarterback homework for the Wildcats. But I got to feel they are not feeling good about things because of how close they were last week and they did not play well.
They went away.
I mean, the turnovers in the red zone, the kicking game was just tragic. And then your teammate trips your kick returner when he's headed to the house. So We've talked about their offensive line problems, but I can't get out of my head how good they've been against South Carolina. And it's just, they've just out-toughed them when they've had to. So I would expect a spirited effort from them, knowing that they might not have Levis. It's supposed to be 30 degrees in Lexington Saturday night. So I'm not sure how Spencer Rattler is going to go about that. But that's a that game has taken on a life of its own with the not knowing of Levis. And I don't know if it's a week injury. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, playing on in the future. So brutal to see, because I thought he was starting to find himself, knowing he was undermanned on his offensive line, and he knew he had to do things more, you know, with his feet. So it's just unfortunate. I was expecting big things from him this year with his, you know, coming back and having an opportunity to boost himself. So it's just tough to see. All right. Last year, I had Army against Wake Forest. They did not get there. They tried like hell, but they did not get there. And now we have that game was at Mikey Stadium. Now we got Army at Wake. Wake up to 15 in the country after that win you mentioned in Tallahassee. The over-under 66. I believe Wake scored 60 themselves. Do you do anything with this game? Army off a loss to winless Georgia State.
Yeah. I don't think Army is very good this year. This was an awful game last year where there was just no defense and was just a rough watch. I'm going to stay. I hate games like this where it's an obvious letdown spot for one team against Army. We're just going to try and run the ball. It's a pass for me, this one. Sorry. Can't have something in every game.
Exactly. That's why I want to make sure we asked and got everything out there. Anything else on the board? Because I have a question from a listener that I want to get to you with.
No, I think we've covered every game that kind of is intriguing to me, or a side that I might play. What do we got?
I'm worried about James Madison giving 11.5 on the road going to Jonesboro. That Arkansas State hung around with Ohio State. They got some guys on that team. I'll be interested to see what the Dukes do on the road there. Okay. But we had a question sent to me on Twitter. If you have any questions, my DMs are open on Twitter at StanfordSteve82. Here we go. This is from Michael Bear. Ready? This is fantastic. Okay. Has anyone thrown out the idea of a 7-way tie in the Big Ten West? Because that's what I'm rooting for. I think I worked out a scenario where everyone goes 3-3 within the division and would then need to go 1-2 each against the East. Still highly unlikely, because we would need Northwestern to win in College Park and Minnesota to lose to Rutgers in Indiana. But I'm looking at the standings. I have no idea what the tiebreakers are, assuming everyone just continues to beat up on each other. Just wanted to see if you or Bear had any idea how that works, because if it gets really crazy, I think it's going to get into a non-divisional winning percentages or something like that.
I'm rooting for it. in the Big Ten West ACC coastal battle, seriously, that's what we were kind of joking about before, is like anyone outside of Northwestern can win that half of the league. Like Nebraska, as poor as they started, can still win that 4-5 or whatever the hell it might be in the league. Yeah, I don't know I haven't looked at the tiebreak situation yet, but I will tell you that I want that to happen. I want that to be our fun little punchline for the remainder of the year.
Yes, that is something good to keep.
Have to see if we can get ESPN analytics on that. See if they can simulate the rest of the season to see how we can get a 7-way tie in the Big Ten and what the percent chance of that is. If that 7-way tie in the Big Ten West comes to fruition, that would certainly qualify as a mayhem moment. And this mayhem moment is brought to you by Allstate. Get protected from mayhem this year when you switch and save with Allstate.
Run the numbers. All right, multiple choice question. Mm-hmm. Favorite 20-point favorite to cover, 20-plus point. Michigan, Cincinnati, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson,
Ohio
San
State.
Diego State. Ohio State.
How does Michigan State stop them? Like, I'm not being a wise ass. I'm like being serious. I mean, that game, I think it's 104 to like 12 or 104 to 17 or something like that in the 2 years that Mel's been there, and they faced Ohio State, and it was like 35-0, I think, at the end of the first quarter last year. Like seriously, how do they, barring awful weather and an injury, which we never wanted to see happen, like, I mean, the Michigan State defense is terrible. Offensively, they're having massive problems. They couldn't move the ball in Minnesota. I don't see any way. If you want to tune into a fun broadcast on Saturday, tune into the second half of Ohio State Michigan State on ABC with Chris and Kirk and Holly. That'll be that could be a lot of inside unintentional humor in the second half of that one if the game goes the way I think it might.
Phenomenal job with the Aflac last week. I'm screaming at my TV, Jim Donnan, Jim Donnan, Jim Donnan.
I to get the nod from Chris and Kirk about good question. That made me feel good. Like they appreciated the hook. They appreciated the answer. I think they were – I wanted to throw in there, too, on the air that Jimmy D was a pretty damn good tennis player, too, as opposed to a really good quarterback. So, it was good to give our guys some love.
Absolutely. Thinking of him. We are still efforting a steamer. He says later in the year he's got some things going on. Did we get there with your best bet from Daily Wager? Tennis in Tokyo last night.
Yes, we did.
Corch
won 7-5 for a set. So nice. over 10 and a half at plus 170 catches.
Very good.
Which was great. I'm still mad at myself about last Friday on Daily Wager because I sent Eddie and Harry, the producers, Utah's my best bet. And then for some reason I changed it to NC State when I was taping the segment. And I was so pissed at myself that I did that because Utah was a winner. And see the late change of the best bet. I think the winning percentage of those has to be like 3 and 409. Like it just doesn't happen.
Who is the best one-loss team in the country?
Who is the best one-loss? Interesting. Let me fire up. I'm gonna go to the rankings and see what we have here.
I have my answer. I will say Mississippi State. I really like what this team brings to the table. When you look at that offense and the defense, I think is more than capable. Brutal, I know. Listen, and when you have a loss, most likely it's going to be a bad one this early in the season. But in their whole togetherness as a team, coaching, I think that team is going to be a problem for other teams in the West. I really, really like Rodgers, and they're way down in the rankings at 23rd. And the highest-ranked one losses are Utah, Oregon, Kentucky.
Yeah, they're
NC State. Like I might take Wake Forest after them.
Yeah, they're Mississippi State, and I'll even give you Kansas State. I think it might be one of those. Like Mississippi State and Kansas State should certainly be ranked higher than BYU, Wake Forest, and NC State. I think for sure.
I still can't believe Penn State's ranked 10th. I really can't.
You think they should be ranked higher or lower?
Way higher. They should be ranked higher than SC. No doubt in my mind.
I would agree with you. I will say this. Obviously, next week we'll take care of that, whether they win or they lose. At the same
time, I'm telling
you
right now. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, at the same time, I think it would be hard to justify moving them up off of last week where they were gross on offense and Northwestern was just so incapable and impotent of doing anything about it. But I agree. I do think Penn State is better than that. But, the beauty is next week they get to prove it against Michigan, if indeed they are.
And I'll give you a look ahead right now. Give me Penn State. They will be in the column next week. Automatic.
Well, what do you think the number might be in that game?
It's not going to be 7.
I bet it is.
6? Really?
I bet it's 6.5 or 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just because of where it is.
Huh. I mean, you could be an alien and come to Earth and you look at Michigan, you know that game's going to be at noon.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my Lord.
But yeah, 6.5, 7. I could be really interested in taking Penn State there.
Absolutely. Money line.
See what it is.
Money line it up. All right, we got to that. You got a favorite underdog to win on the field?
Houston. And I know they're only a field goal for field goal dogs. That's one. Here's what I put in the column. It's so funny. Like last year, the thing that was keeping me afloat in the column was the great success that I had with like the underdogs winning against an ATS record that was subpar, or where I like to be. Like this year is completely opposite. 21-8-1 in the column ATS wise, and only 3 of the 16 underdogs I played have won outright. So yeah, this week I have UNLV, LSU, Purdue, Houston, Florida State, and Arizona. Those were those are the 6 dogs. I mean, none of them are massive. I mean, Arizona is, but everyone else is pretty reasonable, right around a field goal or so.
Yeah, I wanted to do that right now because I want to take Rutgers, Houston, Purdue, and a money line parlay, which gets me 10-1. 11-1.
Mm.
Done. Rutgers, Houston, way, Purdue. Way, you making an in podcast wager? I'm going to make one. Fire away.
I found San Jose State, by the way, at 6-1 somewhere. So I was able to get better than 550. Got 6.
Now I have to watch Rutgers, Nebraska.
Well, you're watching it anyway.
Yeah, we are working tomorrow night. I got to watch the Mets too. I can't believe the season. After all this, season's going to be over. Freaking.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they'll beat the Padres.
I'm just happy they're not playing the Braves. That's all.
I mean, I know they don't have Marte in the lineup, and hopefully they can get out of the series and they can have him for the rest of the playoffs, which I guess is kind of the plan, hopefully. But you're worried about Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. Like, come on. This isn't like 2000.
Yeah, because the Mets lineup, man. The Mets lineup scares the heck out of me.
It was funny. We talked about that prop yesterday on Daily Wager about the will the World Series winner be AL or NL, and Doug seemed to be interested in my philosophy there. That take the if you're looking to play like the NL, because you get the Braves, Mets, and Dodgers there at 130, and then you can just take the Astros at like 375 or whatever, maybe a little. So I don't think the Astros are the only team in the AL capable of winning it.
I'm just telling you right now, okay. Now that this is over, we got there with 62. Thank you. Thank you to Barstool for putting that up 5-1 at the All-Star break. That was a nice get. We had to wait a while, but we got there. But I'm going to say this. He is going to be insane in this postseason. Aaron Judge, he's with this off his back, he's going to dominate the postseason.
Or teams might do what they should have been doing all along, which they started doing at the end of the year, and just not pitching to them and make the rest of the lineup beat you.
Not in the playoffs. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. Did you read the article that Ezekiel Elliott didn't go to the game because he didn't want to drive to Arlington? Micah Parsons had a suite at the stadium, and he said, "I didn't want to drive to Arlington. It's a problem to drive to Arlington." You're Ezekiel Elliott. You get somebody to drive you to Arlington.
Correct. I was going to say, I think you can get a car service for probably the 15-minute ride that he is from where he lives to Arlington. I mean, ridiculous.
Ay.
But yeah, I was so bummed yesterday because I had that nice middle on the Rockies set up, and they pissed away so many games against the Giants, and they the ultimate tease yesterday, man. You take the first 3 from the Dodgers. You're sitting there on 68. 1-1 in the 5th, and then Turner goes yard, and it's over. The dream of the middle is over. Done.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
That should do it here. Big Mike Happy Recap. I have Oregon State minus the points, TCU minus the points, the over in the Washington-Arizona State game, and the over at the Snake Pit, Purdue and Maryland. You, sir.
Yeah, give me Houston plus 3, Arizona plus 13. Give me Auburn under 9.5 team points. And I'm strongly thinking about Notre Dame minus 3.5 and Texas A&M under 13.5 as well.
All righty. Travel safe, my friend, and enjoy the games wherever you are. Enjoy Lawrence. Tell everybody I said hello. Be careful out there. Take us away.
I certainly will. Be careful. Good travel. Good game tonight. 3 games in 3 days, always fun. And the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.